but you will need to drive. Okay, so designing websites. Okay, I just want to get some basic vocabulary for you today. First of all, website versus web page versus home page. And we talked about these last time, but I didn't really distinguish between the three. A website is everything that exists within your site. So if I go to the R class computer site, so ckeeler/computers, everything that exists in there, from the home page to the lesson plans to the PowerPoint slideshows to the audios, all of that is the website. A web page, differently, is an individual page within a website. And a web page isn't, if you download a PowerPoint slideshow or if you download an audio, that is not a web page. That's a downloaded file or a downloaded Word document. So a web page is actually one that you can put in the URL and you can actually see it on that page. The home page is the first page in your website. And we talked last time how you might have embedded home pages. So for me, my home page is ckeeler, but for you all, the home page is ckeeler/computers. And for my students in my social studies methods, it's /SSM for social studies methods. The next is, we've talked about URL, the Universal Resource Locator, the address for a web page. And what you'll notice is at the end of each of those addresses, there's what we call an extension. And we talked about extensions earlier in the semester. So .xls would mean it's an Excel document. If it says .ppt, PowerPoint. .doc, a Word document. If it says .ins, it's inspiration. Okay, so there are lots of different extensions at the end. Just like when we're on the web, there's an extension on the end. And .html on the end means that it's in hypertext markup language, which I introduced last time, and that means it's a web page. You're going to be able to view it as a web page. .htm also means that it is a web page. We're going to use .html in this class because it makes you look like you know what you're doing. HTM is what will usually happen if it's automatically generated. Index.html is the homepage. Good. So instead of calling your homepage a homepage when you're actually doing the programming and putting it together, you're going to call it index.html. And I'm going to keep repeating that because I know that you guys will make that mistake. Web authoring versus web publishing. When you create a web page, you are called the... Remember last time?
Webmaster.
The webmaster. And you are the person who created that page, who developed it, who designed it, who wrote it. You are the web author, the author of it. A web publisher is the person who takes that web page and puts it online onto the internet. So there's really two processes here. There's the creation of the web page, and then there's the publishing of the web page. Until that web page is published, until it goes onto the internet, then nobody else can get access to it. It's just an HTML file that sits on your computer. Just like if I create a Word document and I have it on my computer, nobody else can see it. But as soon as I publish that Word document, then you guys can go onto our website and download it. Okay? A web server is where you publish that website to. I use the web server that's in the next room, the College of Education web server. We're going to be using the Computer Lab one for the Office of Instructional Technology, I think it is, for UNLV. So we're doing something a little different this time. We got the web campus at the beginning of the semester to be their, you know, test, and now we're going to be guinea pigs with this OIT thing at the end. So we're going to make it work. We're going to work through it, and it's going to be a positive. We're going to have no problems with it whatsoever, I'm sure. So we're using a different server than I'm used to this time, and we're going to use a few different ways to access it. You can access that web server through a file transfer protocol, and I'll explain that at a different time, or you can access that server through net storage that you'll be able to access through any computer through web access with a browser. Okay, so when we talk about something being a web page and it being in HTML, that means that there are little HTML, hypertext markup language, computer language tags or codes that exist. So if you want to see what a web page looks like without seeing the background, what was actually written, this is what a programmer writes. This is what my first web page looked like. Let's go to it. I wrote this back in probably 1996, 1998, my very first web page. And as you can see, it's got bold. It says places I often visit. It's got bulleted. All of these are links. And it's got a picture up here. And it says Christie's homepage at the top. So originally, when I wrote this, you couldn't use what you're going to be using. I actually had to write all of this stuff. And what this said is that I'm going to make HTML code. So everything from here to the bottom where it says backslash HTML means that all this is my HTML code, and this is what you're going to display on that page. It says for the header at the top, I want you to write Christie's homepage. The color, and that's the end of the header. For the body or the background color is going to be FFFFF, which is probably pink or whatever that was. Then this says, here's just a, this is where my header is going to go. It's in green because it's saying that it doesn't have to read this section right here. It says, I want you to put this picture, what I called header.gif, and if somebody can't see that picture, maybe if they have the pictures turned off, or maybe if they're using a screen reader, if they're visually impaired, then it's going to say Christie Keeler's homepage. And it's going to be spelled wrong. And then it's going to say, I don't want any border around it at all. And then if you're doing a web search, these are the things that I want it to web search for. Then down here it says, I want you to type in really big bold letters, places I often visit. And then I want you to create this list, a user list. And for the first line of the list, it's going to say this, and it's going to link to this. Now, it took me a semester to learn how to do all this stuff. And people don't use, programmers use this stuff, but the average person doesn't do this type of web design anymore. Why I want you to see this is because this is all the background stuff that exists when you create your web pages. You will be putting in just a little bit of HTML, but you're not going to have to write most of the stuff. Okay. Have any of you written in HTML before? So anybody other than Laura? Okay, you've written HTML. Okay. All right, so how do we create a web page? One thing that you can do is do what I just showed you. You can actually write the code, just like when you took BASIC when you were back in eighth grade or ninth grade and you learned how to actually do some coding. You can create it just like that, like any software engineer or programmer would do. Or you can use what are called source code generators. So for instance, if you're using Microsoft Word or Microsoft PowerPoint, remember when we went in for your website evaluation forms and you saved it as a document template and there were different file formats? One of those file formats is as a web page. And what you do is if, let's say, the slides that we're looking at right now, I wanted to save them, I would say save as this, and see how it says HTM instead of HTML? So you know that they didn't really do real HTML. Then in the format section, I'm going to scroll this down and I'm going to find web page and I can save it. So I can save this as a web page. It doesn't always come out looking exactly the way that you want, but for somebody who doesn't know how to do basic web publishing, this does work. It doesn't give you a lot of the flexibility that you get when you use other types of web publishing stuff, software. The next type is, that's if you're just going to kind of a cheater way of creating web pages. The next one is using basic WYSIWYG commands. WYSIWYG is a real word, and it means what you see is what you get. What you see is what I guess. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG commands. And what that means is as I type something in, I actually see it on the screen. When you are typing in Word and you want something to be bold and you highlight it and click on bold, it looks bold. When you want something to be underlined and you click on underline, it actually looks underlined. In the old days of computing, if I wanted something bold, I would have to go in and put a little caret thing and a B, and then a caret thing, I think it was that way, or maybe it was a sideways slant. And then I would type in, you know, my name or, you know, whatever it was. And then I would have to do it again. That would tell the computer everything from here to here needs to be bold. And if I forgot this at the end, then the rest of my paper would be bold. And that happened regularly in the olden days. And so that would be an example of where you do not have a WYSIWYG command, where it just shows up. What we're using one, we're going to be using Netscape Composer, which allows you to see what it's actually going to look like. The software we're going to use in this class is Netscape Composer, and I'd say this is not the best software out there to use for it, but it is free. And so you all will be able to access it, and you'll be able to use it at home, and you'll be able to continue to use it after this class without having to use it here in the lab. The alternative is some higher quality development tools. If I were truly a web developer and I really wanted to make some really cool websites, what I'd be using instead is Macromedia Dreamweaver. Macromedia was just purchased by Adobe a few months ago, and Adobe had a competing product, Go Live, which they'll probably get rid of now that they own Dreamweaver. And another option is Microsoft FrontPage. But pretty much Dreamweaver is where it's at as far as web development, what you'd use. Do any of you know how to use Dreamweaver? Okay, so then we'll all stick with Composer here. So you can do a lot of really cool things there that you're not going to be able to do with Composer, but Dreamweaver costs over $200, and I don't think that you want to spend that kind of money. We do have it on all of the machines here, though. All right, so any questions about that so far? Okay. All right, what we're going to do then is we're going to switch over to the lesson plan presentations. We're going to see three lesson plan presentations. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to pass this bag around, and I want you to take three of these little pieces of paper out. Each person needs three. And what you're going to do is you're going to write the presenter name on the top of each one. Ashley will be first, Cheryl, and then Melissa. You can just put their first names. And you are the evaluator. When they're presenting or after they present, you need to write down what are some of the strengths that you saw in the presentation or in the lesson, and then what are some of the areas in which they could improve. Maybe they need to speak louder, or maybe they could have added a more creative element to their activity. So think of something that you could put in there, but I want you to be specific. The only way we improve as educators is if we get feedback, and usually the feedback that we get from second graders is good, but it helps when we get it from other professional educators as well. So this is really valuable feedback. Now, how this is going to work is after Ashley presents, then you're going to have a minute to complete filling this out, and then who's collecting? Laura is going to come around and collect them in her little basket that I gave her. She'll put them into an envelope and write Ashley's name on it and seal it, and then Ashley can go home and cry when she can go home and you know, have a glass of wine and just have a good time and she'll see all the great things that you wrote about her presentation, but that way she doesn't have to deal with it in class, and also she'll be able to get other feedback. So we won't talk about them a lot, just slightly after each one, but mostly this is the feedback that we're going to get. What I really want you to get out of this is I want you to get the opportunity to present, but even more importantly, I want you to see all the creative ways that you all have found to integrate technology into your lessons. Know that Kayla is going to be videotaping you, and I'm going to put this videotape online so that you can get access to it if you want to include it in your website in the end. And Emily is going to be timing you. So when 5 minutes is up, it's kind of like the bell just rang and you're done. You're not allowed to go on anymore. Okay, any questions? Yes. No, you don't. In fact, less is fine, just fine. Okay, all right. Yeah. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. Do you want to use this? I can probably get it to work this time. Oh, no, I can't because we got two things in there. Sorry. Yeah, but what we can do is we can move it over if you want. Or do you want it over here more?
It doesn't matter.
And then I can close mine and you can use it.
No, that's fine. We can.
No, mine's the other one that's in there.
Oh, okay, so then you don't have to be right back there.
Oh, I thought you meant that.
I don't mind.
Okay. Okay, well, and then I just turned this off by accident. And then I went and broke it.